Hearing about sheep and shepherds reminds me of an episode last fall when I was with a group of parishioners and we were out in the woods in the National Forest, White River National Forest by Minturn to do bow hunting in the fall. And we were kind of camped in a shallow valley, and then there's kind of ridges that are tree covered. And so one evening or kind of late afternoon, I was up one of those ridges among the trees, kind of waiting for my prize buck to come along. As I was there, back in that valley, which I couldn't see because of the tree cover, I just started to hear the din of many voices, many, many voices. And they're letting out these kind of wavering moans. And it was really kind of creepy, all these voices and the shadows getting a bit longer and sounded like some kind of valley of lost souls out there. It's like, what is this? And then I realized, oh yes, the sheep had arrived. You see, we'd been tracking this group of sheep, this flock, a huge flock, hundreds of sheep that these shepherds are guiding through the National Forest. A rancher had gotten a permit to be able to let them kind of graze in the National Forest. And as we'd been having our hunting days, we'd seen this huge flock of sheep, you know, guided by these two shepherds, just kind of working their way through the National Forest. And they finally got to kind of our area, you know, and they crossed all kinds of terrain. And when they got there, end of our hunt. Like, there's no way deer were sticking around for that. And even the dogs, if nothing else, that were helping to guard the flock would have taken care of that. So we actually invited them for lunch the next day. You know, no hard feelings. Our hunt hadn't been going too well anyways. And we met them, these two Peruvians who had been signed by this rancher to do this. And as we talked and they realized that we were, well, unsuccessful hunters there, I think they felt a little bad about how their flock had really kind of shut things down. And so they offered us a lamb, you know, as kind of compensation. Would you like to take a lamb from the flock? But I think we all agreed we wanted to get our meat in a more sporting way. So, but thanks for the offer. If it happens again, our answer might be different. Two things that struck me from that experience was, first of all, how the sheep did move through all kinds of terrain, up and down hills and valleys and even sometimes through some woods. And so just the way that the sheep were guided through all kinds of terrain. And then the second thing is how the shepherds moved right there with them on horseback or on foot, and they camped right in the midst of their humongous flock. I think both of those points of impression, I think really help us to consider how Jesus is such a good shepherd for us. Psalm 23, I think, kind of alludes to both of those points, and I want to focus on those. In Psalm 23, it notes from a responsorial psalm that it says, "Even though I walk in the dark valley." You know, Psalm 23 doesn't just say, "The Lord is my shepherd and he just keeps me at that grass and that water." No, sometimes, even though I walk through a dark valley, you know, yes, there can be a dark valley sometimes that we are being led through challenging terrain, whether it's just simply for us individually or collectively. But that doesn't mean that there is some kind of mistake or neglect on the shepherd's part. Just yesterday, after our Respect Life 5K, I was talking to a mom who I know, whose family has been through both significant work as well as health problems. I saw her at the 8 a.m. Mass this morning, and she's like, "Yes, you said it accurately." As we talked yesterday, she could relate how these problems that her family had undergone really helped her identify with different figures in the Bible. She could relate to, like, Joseph, that beloved son of Jacob in the Old Testament, who, out of envy, his brothers sold into slavery into Egypt. Or with Moses and all the journeying and different hardships that he had to travel through. And in seeing her own struggles, she could relate to them. You know, that yes, they're under God's care, but not having an easy time of it always. And yet the Lord was bringing about something really important in their lives, a part of His plan, as well as in her life as well. And so God has a good record in this. You know, yes, even when we're in dark valleys, it's not a neglect of the Lord or an indifference. But instead, like our psalm says, walk in the dark valley, keep walking in faith, even in that challenging terrain in our life. And then Psalm 23 continues. It says, I fear no evil. I fear no evil, for you are at my side. And that reminds me then of the closeness of those shepherds that we met up in the National Forest, and indeed the closeness of Jesus, our good shepherd. How incredibly close he really is. When you think about it, that Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, the Son of God incarnate, he comes so close to us, he takes on our limited human nature, entering into our human reality and all the complications of that, the limitations. He comes that close to us. And he continues to be that close to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, who makes him present to us in so many ways, including in the Eucharist. How close the Good Shepherd is. Jesus, in our gospel acclamation, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus is in voice range, like he's that close. We can call out to him, and also we can hear his voice truly in our lives. Recently, I've been looking at a work called The Practice of the Presence of God. And what it is it's kind of a compilation about this Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. He was a Carmelite monk from the 1600s, and the work is a compilation of some of his letters that he wrote to others, of conversations he had with people that those people jotted down, a few kind of treatises, and it's all about how we can recognize and be open to the closeness of the Good Shepherd. Because you see, in the busyness, the stress, the distraction, even in good things, we can lose track of or maybe even neglect the Lord's closeness in our lives. And so Brother Lawrence, he was a Carmelite monk, and he wasn't like some fancy theologian or, you know, renowned figure. You know, in his time, he was a simple monk. He had been a soldier who had then had a great conversion and entered into this monastery, and he was the cook there for 15 years. And then when his injuries from his previous soldiering days kind of took too much of a toll, he just became the sandal repairman, you know, for his monastery. But this simple man who, yes, was so committed to that rich Carmelite life, he found a secret to receiving many deep graces, often from the Lord. And it was as simple as this, of turning towards God frequently during the day. Practice the presence of God. And he describes it as, at times, maybe a few brief words of adoration addressed to the Lord, or maybe just an attentive stillness to, again, kind of welcome, be open to how Jesus is so close to me. Maybe it's confiding with God in some moment, and to do this at different times throughout the day. Now, Brother Lawrence himself would say that this is something that is simple, but not easy. You know, how often, you know, I just get swept away by the day, the things I have to attend to, respond to this, take care of that, and next thing you know, it's okay. I did prayer in the morning, but I've kind of been on an autopilot or kind of on solo sheep mode, you know, for a lot of the day, right? And he teaches us to do, as he says, often repeating these little adorations throughout the day. And he freely acknowledges that this can be challenging at the beginning, even repugnant is this word, because we're so used to just kind of being out there doing our thing that we need to retrain our habits, We train our habit of mind and of heart to keep coming back around to the Lord. And as that habit gets built up in perseverance, that opens us to receiving so many different graces that we need. One author who wrote about him, I think, described it beautifully, that Brother Lawrence, that he breathed God, you know, to others, they experienced that in him because he breathed in God, practicing the presence of God throughout the day. And so I propose that to you as a beautiful way to know how Jesus the Good Shepherd really is at my side and with him to keep walking through whatever terrain I'm in. Because if I don't place my confidence in him, where am I placing it? And it's certainly not anywhere as good as with him. A final note is looking at the gospel. What does Jesus do in the gospel with his shepherd's heart moved to pity when he sees these people? Well, yes, like right after these verses, it recounts how he will go on to feed them, a multiplication of bread and of fish. But first, before he does that, it says he began to teach them many things. So the first thing he does out of his shepherd's heart is he feeds them the truth. I think today there's so many voices that are around us, the clamor of so many voices, and many people want to tell us things, but not necessarily the truth. And sometimes I think we want to be told things, but not necessarily the truth. And it can be really hard to figure all of this out. And so I just want to really reiterate that the church has been given a distinctive role by Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, to teach the truth. And that cannot be replaced by pundits or politicians or professors or personal opinion. Now, no human member of the church is perfect, you know, this side of heaven. But thankfully, the church is much more than just that sum of many imperfect people. You know, our second reading from Ephesians describes how Jesus, you know, with his flesh, with his blood, has made the church, bringing together Gentiles and Jews and as one new person, one body. The church is the mystical body of Christ with Jesus Christ as the head and has this special role of conveying the truth. And that teaching, yes, can be challenging. It challenged people from the beginning when Jesus was saying this. And it can challenge us in different ways according to where and how we need more truth in our lives. But ultimately, the motive is that the church teaches, yes, faith, teaches on morals, teaches on the liturgy, and makes application of those truths to our situation in our personal lives and in our society. It does this out of striving to be faithful to Christ and to help people hear and live by the Good Shepherd's voice. Because as Pope John Paul II said, Jesus Christ is the answer to the question posed by every human life. And so may we keep walking in faith, especially when we're in that dark valley terrain, trusting that it's not the Lord being neglectful. And may we turn to Jesus, often practicing that presence of God, for as the psalm says, he is truly at our side. And may we yearn to always be fed by the truth he wants to give us.